to the house of the Lord. This is His time. This is His time. So still yourself. Center yourself back on God. This is His time. Can we stand to our feet? Let's stand to our feet. This is His time. King Jesus. King Jesus. You are welcome in this place. King Jesus, we're here for you this morning. King Jesus, take your place of honor in this place. Let's just still ourselves. Some of us have had busy weeks, hectic weeks. The week has been heavy. Let's still ourselves in God. All eyes on Him, saints. All eyes on Him. Isaiah 40 says, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary. He will not grow tired. And His understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. But those who wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, I say. Wait on the Lord. Someone needs to hear that this morning. If you wait on Him, you will not grow weary. You will run. You will walk and not grow faint. Wait on Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We're here for you this morning. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you.
We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Hallelujah.
strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Strength will rise
as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer.
We are hope.
You are the everlasting
God.
Thank you.
blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my foreman in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washing His blood.
impossible for him to fail. It's impossible for him to let us down. Present our lives to you again. We present our lives to you again. And we say, do your will and have your way in our lives. Do your will and have your way. Receive our worship this morning. Receive all the honor that is due your beautiful name. Because this is all about you. It's all about your glory. And it's all about your fame. In Jesus' holy name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence amongst us tonight. We give you thanks, we give you praise this morning. Please take your seats. Thanks, Lord, for leading us into the presence of God. It's no small thing to stand in the presence of God. But we stand in your presence. We stand in your presence because the veil has been torn. We thank you, Lord, for we have access to you now. Holy Spirit, we love you. I need you. Minister the storm we have. Jesus. Hey, Jim, can you offer notices, please? Okay, we're going to continue our Bible study in the box. We're moving on to John 17. And so we didn't get thoroughly with chapter 16 now. So 17 is the order, 7 o'clock in the box. If you haven't come, please step out, come and meet the Lord through the word. Encounter night again this week. We had such a powerful encounter night, didn't we? Those who were there were really touched by God. I want to encourage you to come to that as well. That's Friday night, 7 o'clock, mighty men's breakfast, guys. Mighty Men's Breakfast next week in the box. The theme is strength without obedience leads to downfall, okay? So we're going to be tackling some big subjects, some lessons from the life of Samson, okay? In the box. None of this Ruth stuff. None of this Esther stuff. The lady thing. We're dealing with Samson. Please, it might help if you read it beforehand. It's in Judges, comment exactly where. But the book of Judges, you'll find the story of Samson. So, that's cool.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, what's this? Two ladies.
You Lynn girl, come and tell us all about it. Come on!
Let me see if I can talk faster. The competition is on. So just a friendly reminder that Saturday, 20th of June, God's Girls will be getting together. We've already got our homework and started on it. So please come and see me if you haven't received the Bible study. What do you call it? Because we've been going through the book of Ruth, and it's for all ladies, okay? Not just for the gray hair people, it's for every single lady in this church. So I know I'm going to see you there. Any questions, please come and speak to myself or Nanette. And we're looking forward to spending some good quality time together with snacks and some chit chat and some time with God, okay? Amen?
Amen. 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 I couldn't manage this guy in the book of Ruth, but we're getting into some really meaty guys, so if you consider yourself a man, you need to be there, okay? And we have got the young adults group, 26th of June, put that in your diary, young people. We're going to go on an outing, so who knows where we've been discussing it. Praise God. An Eppingtown show, the 5th of July, we always have a stall there where we give out free cake to the community, and so something always happens, okay? So we're going to be reaching out in Epping, so we ask for your support in this event, and that will be on the 5th of July, okay? And our stall looks brilliant every year. It looks absolutely brilliant every year, even when it's chucking it down the rain. Okay, so the stall, the kids have gone out. Let's pray for the children. Father, we thank you for the children in this church. And just pray, Father God, this morning they will be touched by your Holy Spirit in that Sunday school. I pray for Carol and Michelle as they lead it, Father God. I pray your blessing, your anointing will be on them, and that you speak through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, praise God. So, brings us to the Word of God. Okay, we're going to be looking at Matthew 13 this morning. The parable of the sower. So Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell amongst the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Father, we thank you for your word, and pray, Father God, that we can hear this morning. We can hear your voice, the voice behind the voice. I pray, Lord, for ears to be opened, for hearts to be opened, hearts to be softened this morning, Father God, to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this section of scripture is fundamental Christian teaching. And, you know, I thought it was so important that Jesus felt he had to explain it. And if we look at 13:18, we can see Matthew 13 from 18 to 23, the parable of the sower is explained. So therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no roots in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, he who receives seed amongst the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Praise God. Okay. Right, so in all, Jesus told 40 parables, right? And in 19 of them, he makes direct reference to the kingdom. And in this one, he expresses that kingdom people should have hearing ears. And we need to be able to hear what God is saying directly to us in our situations and in our church. And we need to be hearing so we know the direction that God wants to be taking us in. Matthew 13, verse 11, Jesus tells us that there are mysteries here. He says there's a mystery here. And when he asked why he speaks in parables, he says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. It's been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. What an honour. And you know, I think of, I used to quite like punk rock. And I used to particularly like a band called The Clash. Anyone here like The Clash?
No.
A few of them, So the Joe Strummer used to mumble. And I remember him being interviewed by a music journalist, and he said, no one can hear what you're singing. And he said, well, only the ones who are meant to hear can hear, can understand what I'm singing, and who are stuck with me. And you know, you have to tune in to be able to understand what he was saying. Bit like a Scottish accent, really, you know? You get used to it after you've been around some Scottish people for a while. You have to tune in. And I believe it's a bit like that with the voice of God. We have to tune in. We have to tune in to the voice of God. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So it's almost like we know it in our knower. That we know that we are children of God because we have been born again. And what that means, when we get born again, it's when our human spirit gets ignited by the Holy Spirit. Because we have made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And when we do that, his Holy Spirit will come and bring our human spirit to life. And that's what being born again is. And that's when we begin to experience God. It's when we begin to hear his voice in our knower. Not necessarily through our ears, although we can speak through that, but it's just this knowing, having clarity in our knowing in ourselves, because God has connected with us now. He's brought us alive spiritually. Because until that happens, we can't hear God at all. So we need to be born again. And this parable was only for those who could understand. And parables are a bit like a hard casing around a nut. And we have to crack it open to find the hidden ingredients, to find the middle, the soft kernel inside, the true meaning of what God is trying to say to us. So this morning, we're going to be cracking this one open. Okay. We've all got our nutcrackers ready. So parables, in this parable, we have three elements to this parable, right? First, we have the seed, which is the word of God, right? We have the sower, which is the man who is spreading the word of God. So that applies to the disciples, the preacher, the evangelist, and to us in our own lives, in our own ministries. And we have the soil, and the soil is men's hearts. And we know this because Matthew 13:19 tells us, hopefully we've got that scripture there, 13:19. It tells us in Matthew 13:19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed sown along the path. So firstly, we know that the seed that we are sowing here is the word of God. It is good seed. We know there's nothing wrong with the seed. 1 Peter 1:23 says that we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So there's nothing wrong with this seed, okay? And once sown, it abides forever. And it will bring a harvest. Once the seed has been sown, it will bring a harvest. Isaiah 51:11 says, so shall my word be that comes from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now, I know this is true because the seed was planted in my own life when I was far away from God's and all my family had been saved, and they used to come round and they used to give me scriptures. They used to give me scriptures on pieces of paper when I wasn't in, used to post them through the doorway. And when they used to do so, I used to laugh at them. I used to laugh at them to their face, but secretly I'd go and look up these scriptures because my sister had given me a Bible, but I would never admit it to their face. They never knew, but the seed was going in my life. And I remember one particular scripture that I was given was the blessings and the curses of Deuteronomy. And when I read the blessings and the curses in Deuteronomy, I was not happy because I knew that I was under the curse, right? And I mean, my brother-in-law gave me that scripture, and I wrote him up, and it's not good. It basically says, if you do what
God wants you to do, everything's going to go okay. But if you don't do what God wants you to do, everything's going to go pear-shaped, right? Everything's going to go bad in your life. Badly bad. I mean, like, you're going to be eating your children bad. This bad, right, you know? And I went in, I was shocked, and I was like, thanks for that. I was like, thanks for that scripture you gave me. That's really encouragement. But I knew I was in trouble. Because when things were going it wrong in my life, I knew that I was under the curse. I knew I was under a curse by it. And next, we have the sower of the seed. We know the seed is good. And now we have the sower of the seed. And I have found that the man who is sowing the seeds, the sower gets more skillful the more he sows, okay? We used to minister in East London on an outreach bus going out onto the streets, and the more you do it, the more skilled you get. The more acclimatized you get to the place you're sowing the seed, the more you familiarize yourself with the environment that you're working in, that God has put you in, because God has placed all of us in an environment to sow our seeds, there gets to be an unction. There gets to be an unction from God, you know it in your knower, and you just find yourself doing it. I can't say that I used to hear God say, go and speak to that person, but I just found myself doing the right thing. I just found myself automatically doing it. The more you sow in the seed, the better you get at it. But so what is important is that we're sowing the seeds. So if we don't get results straight away, don't worry. Long as the seeds are sown. Long as the seeds are sown. Because it is God who is bringing the results. It is God who's doing the growing. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6. I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So it's God who's making the seeds grow. And you know, once you've planted seeds, testimonies come back. I went up to Team Challenge and I met a guy there who'd come on the program, but this guy was in bits and said, I remember you, five years ago, or however long it was, and as I was leaving, I said to him, I'm going to see you again. And it had all come true, like, you know, suddenly I saw this guy again. And he was in the right condition, you know, but he came, but the seed had been sown in his life and he knew to come back, praise God. So that seed is nothing wrong with the seed. And it's down to God how he grows it. And he accomplishes what he pleases. You know, we used to evangelize in Whitechapel outside the East London Mosque to the Muslims there, and I used to work with a Muslim guy who was a convert. He was a convert to Christianity, and when he used to minister to the Muslims, he just used to go up to them, say, give them a tract, say, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Saviour, and then he used to walk away. He never used to get into any theological debates with them. He just said, I've done what I have to do, and that was it. He sowed the seed, and he used to walk away from them. You know, and we're still hearing testimonies of harvest coming back. And it's not always us that gets the harvest, though. It might be other people, but praise God for that. And God is giving a lot of Muslims dreams and visions these days, and they're coming to the Lord. It is God who's doing the growing. One sows, another reaps. I remember speaking to a guy who came into the Teen Challenge program, and someone had spoken to him 10 years before. And he said, I couldn't get that thought out of my head. And the same happened with me. Someone planted a seed in my head, and I couldn't get it out of my head. And when I was ready, I acted on it. But there's real opposition to evangelism. And if you find yourself being mentally attacked over some initiative is probably because it's going to be effective, okay? God will try everything, I'm sorry, the devil will try everything to stop you doing God's work. And the real crux of the matter, though, the real crux of the matter is men's hearts and their condition. And there are four different heart conditions here. There are four different stages of hardness. And I know that I've been through all four different stages of this hardness. I know that the heart's condition can soften. It changes. Because he did with me, I went through all four different stages. Hearts can change. Hearts can change. Hard hearts can become soft hearts. So, first of all, in verse 19, in the explanation, 13:19, we start with a word on the wayside. And it tells us that the devil, it was the devil who comes and snatches away what was sown. You know, when you're evangelizing, there's always going to be a distraction. There's always going to be distraction. I remember talking with my wife Lynette, and we were driving and I saw a homeless guy, and I went over and started speaking to him, and he'd been there all day, this guy. Suddenly, people come up, giving him beer, giving everyone, suddenly, there are so many distractions. It always happens. When you try to sow the seed in someone's life, the enemy will come along and snatch it away. That's what the bird, that's the birds coming and taking it away. So when God is drawing us to him, the enemy is going to bring in distractions. You know, I made a commitment years ago, but the devil actually snatched it away in my life. I remember actually going, all my family became Christians, but I was holding out, it took me another 15 years. But I actually went to go and see Billy Graham, and I was on the verge of coming to the front in Billy Graham, and this girl came up and said, why don't we go down the pub instead? I'll buy you a drink. And so I wasn't with her instead. Who knows what would have happened if it wasn't for that girl. The devil came along and snatched it away. And there will be challenges to the seed taking root and growing. Because Satan wants to steal that word. Because it is powerful. And it presents his challenge. He presents his challenge to it. He will come up with delaying tactics. And he will try to get people to fall into sin. Especially after someone's been baptized. I tell you, the enemy will come in against you. The enemy will bring distractions into your walk with the Lord. Now, the fields in Jerusalem were pathways. They were pathways, and the seeds that were falling down there were not taking root because they've been trampled on. They've been trampled on. You know, when Lynette and I moved into our house in Southend, the people before us had four large Alsatian dogs, and they wouldn't take them out for a walk. They were just running around the garden, and the soil had become so compacted in the back garden, nothing would grow on it. Nothing would grow on it. It was a right state, wasn't it? Do you remember? And Lynette was out there digging it up. She does the gardening, by the way. I sit in the garden. I watch her. She teaches me how to do it. Right. So they've been trampled on and nothing had been grown, would grow there. And it's like this with our heart. You know, if we've been trampled on, I wonder who's been trampling on our heart. I wonder who has made our heart hard. I wonder who's compounded our heart so that we can't trust again. I wonder who it is that we haven't forgiven, so that they can carry on trampling upon our heart, making it even harder, even though they've gone. Because when we were children, our hearts were soft. And Matthew 18, verse 3, and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So we need to change again. And we need to become like children again to enter into the kingdom of God. But life has a way of trampling on our heart and making it hard, making it impenetrable, making it so nothing can take root. But the Holy Spirit will soften our hearts if we let him, if we let him reign on us gently. And our problem often is a lack of trust. Well, we can trust Jesus. He wants to turn that heart of stone into a heart of flesh. And it's by his Spirit that this will happen. Sin will harden our hearts. It will sear our conscience. And we find ourselves doing things we would never have dreamed of doing before our heart got hardened. 1 Timothy 4:2, through the insincerity of liars whose conscience are seared with a conscience seared with a hot iron. This is like when it's seared, your heart is seared, your conscience is seared, it's become hard, like scar tissue. If you've got a scar and it heals, the scar tissue there, and no hairs will grow on it, it's hardened skin. And that's what happens to our heart when we've been damaged. What happens to our conscience when we've been damaged? Nothing will go in anymore. That's why we need to keep God's word close to our heart, because it will soften us and stop us sinning. Sin will keep us from the Bible, but the Bible will keep us from sin. The problem is the hardness of heart. That's why we can't receive the Spirit. That's why we can't forgive. We need a clear conscience. 1 Timothy 3:9. They must be committed to the mystery of the faith now revealed and must live with a clear conscience. So we need to live with a clear conscience. Secondly, verse 20. He who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Receiving the word on stony places. This is the insincere reception of the word. We receive the good news of salvation and we make Jesus our Saviour, but have we made him our Lord? We don't want to change certain areas of our lives, and we try to starting to build our faith on a shaky foundation. And the difficult areas that God wants us to submit to him stay the same. We don't want to put in the work to build on the right foundation. We may have had a touch from the Holy Spirit. We may have had a mountaintop experience. But we don't want to commit to a church. Or we don't want to commit to what the Word is saying and what the Word requires of us. Because the Word of God is calling us into fellowship. It's calling us into commitment. It's calling us into giving of our time and money. It's calling us into prayer. It's calling us into fasting. And it's these things that will build the foundation and soften the hardness of the soil, the hardness of the heart. And we have no room because we're not going through the whole process of discipleship. We're trying to avoid the challenging parts. And Jesus is talking about a thin layer of soil over rock here so that roots can't go down. You know, as I said, I watched Lynette doing the gardening and I saw her pulling out this mint plant. And you want to see the roots on this mint. It was just everywhere and it had taken over. And there was no room for the roots of the other plants to go down, right? Because they needed room. It was blocking the others. And the roots don't go down either when our hearts are hard, when our hearts are like stone, because there isn't room. There isn't room. And some people say, are self-declared church hoppers. They say, oh, we're church hoppers. And they don't settle long enough for roots to go down. They won't let their hearts soften. But there's no room for them. So they have no root in themselves, verse 21 says. 13:21. He has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. You know, Jesus never said he was going to get us high and he was going to make us feel good all the time. You know the famous story of the Mount of Transfiguration, and they go up to the mountain and they have a wonderful time in the presence of God. They meet Moses and Elijah, and Peter's going, oh, let's build a tabernacle here. We want to stay here forever. But the truth of the matter is we can't stay there forever. We have to come back down into the valley. We have to come back down to real life, a life with all its problems. Because the real life is in the valley. And that is where the fruit will grow in our lives. You know, when I used to get challenged by a pastor when I was drinking, I'd leave the church and go somewhere else. Going from church meeting to church meeting, thinking I was going to find a perfect church. I wanted the church to change for me. I didn't want to change. I wanted Jesus to change for me. And people will create a theology to justify their sin. I used to. I had all my theology worked out so I could carry on sinning. And when someone had challenged me on that, I didn't like it. I used to leave. So some people, they want to go to a church that agrees with them. They say what they want to hear rather than change what they want to do. People want a quick fix, a quick prayer to take away the problem. When God wants us to put in some spiritual work. Because our sin is our responsibility. And we need to acknowledge that. Otherwise we can't repent. If we don't acknowledge that we did it, we can't repent. We can't repent of something we still think that we didn't do. And God wants total commitment from us. And he wants us to do some work. James 4, 7, 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purifying the heart involves repentance and soul-searching and confession and renunciation and then consecration, rededicating ourselves back to God. Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David said, search me, O Lord. And for me, it took a long time to honestly be able to ask God to do that, because you have to be in the right place to let God do that. You need to know that your roots are going to hold you. And you have to let God do that. Because he won't come in, he won't invade your space. You have to give him permission because he's given us free will. So we have to allow him in. God doesn't really have to search us because he already knows what's going on in our heart. He knows all about him. But it's for us we need to let him in. We have to let him in. Hosea 10:12, sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. So we need to plow our hearts to soften it up. It's talking about the heart. The fallow ground used to have a crust on it, making it hard, impenetrable. And it needed breaking up with a plow. It needed breaking up to let God. We need to soften up our hearts. And we do that. We let the rain come in on our hearts, the rain of the Holy Spirit. When we're opening our mouth in praise and repentance, when we're lifting our hands in worship, when we're bowing the knee before the King, we're allowing the rain of the Holy Spirit to rain on our hearts. But that's not enough. If our heart is hard, we need to break up the ground for it to penetrate through. And we do that by repentance, we do that by confession, and we do that by renunciation. So we're repenting of the sins we commit, and we're walking now in forgiveness, and we're keeping short accounts with God. So we're confessing to God, or sometimes a trusted brother or sister in the Lord, because it's good to get these things out in the open, because the devil wants you to keep things hidden in secret so he can exploit it, so he can isolate you. And renouncing bad habits, renouncing a bad way of life, drawing a line in the sand and telling the devil, you're not going there no more. You're not going down there and you're not going to do it anymore. And you're asking God to strengthen you in that area, and he will. Because the plant with no roots cannot survive the trial. But the plant needs the trial. Maybe it's the hot sun. Maybe it's the hot sun is the trial. The trial that comes to one plant is the same as the next. One will survive and one will fail. The plant needs the trial to prosper. So one will survive and one will fail. The difference is in the depth of the roots. Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Deep roots come with Christian maturity, and that comes through facing trials and overcoming. Ephesians 3:17. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. The Bible tells us to go deep, to put down deep roots. Shallow Christianity will not survive times of trouble. And those who are satisfied with a shallow faith need to go deeper. And it's only when you go deeper that the chains that bind you will come off. It's only when you really plug in that the chains that have been holding you back will fall off. They will just fall away. And mountains will move as you go deeper. And healing will come. And deliverance will come. And to grow, you need to come to church every week. Hebrews 10:25. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. Because we grow in church. Things will happen that will make us grow. Challenges. We get challenged and we respond to the challenges. We sit under the word and we start applying it, surrounding ourselves with other believers, more mature ones, because they're going to pull us up. You know, lions always want to take out the person on their own. You look at herds of wildebeest, the lion will go for the one who's on his own. And our enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion. He will take out the one on his own. We need to be in fellowship. We need to have our brothers and sisters around us. We need to be spending time with God, with the Holy Spirit, who is a person, the person of God. We need to spend time with him in prayer and in Bible study. We need to be with his people. And in verse 20, the heart is hard and it's insincere. It wants a quick fix. The answer is a gradual development of faith. So that when the problems come, when the storm is blowing, the house has been built on a good foundation. I remember one guy on the Teen Challenge program, this guy, and he was terrorizing the town in Clacton. This guy was terrorizing the town in Clacton. The pastor who was ministering to him used to lock himself in his office and pretend he wasn't there. This guy was running riot. He came onto the Teen Challenge program and the transformation in him was amazing. It was amazing. The God gave me a picture of, I used to grow dope plants, by the way, and if you get the light wrong on the dope plants, they bolt straight upright. If you get too much blue light, for the horticulturists amongst you, right, you have to get the light right. And he showed me this, I remember distinctly, because they grow up and they fall down, showed me this picture of what was going to happen to this guy. Because he was a sparkler. He was a sparkler. And he wasn't grown. And he did fall. But he's all right now. But I remember distinctly, we can't grow too quick. We have to have a sincere faith. Because the Lord doesn't do a quick fix for discipleship. If you look at this Jesus' disciples, after 3 years with Jesus, they're still all over the shop. After 3 years of being with Jesus, they were still all over the shop. Discipleship doesn't come overnight. And the way you win is through your difficulties, is by going deep. So the word has got deep roots, but God is calling us to go deep. Psalm 42 and verse 7. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. That's the trials and the tribulations sweeping over us. So deep is calling to deep. Verse 22, he who receives seed amongst the thorns. This is the compromised gospel. This is the word getting choked by the thorns. And maybe we've been through this stage as well. Maybe we wanted Jesus to bring us a new life. We wanted him to wait on us and serve up our new lives on a silver platter, waiting for Jesus to be our butler. Come over here, like an episode of Cheese and Worcester, wanting him to do it all for us, hoping he's going to wave his hand and fix it all for us. Wanting just to carry on doing what we want to do. Maybe we've got the spirit of turnover. Maybe we turn over the page of the Bible that's challenging us. Maybe we think, oh, yeah, I'll deal with that later. That's me. I'll deal with that later. Instead of dealing with it right away. I remember Colin Urquhart. He said, it's the spirit of turnover. It's the spirit of turnover. Leave the bits that are challenging you. Maybe this is us, we're partly committed to God and still partly committed to the world. One foot in Christianity and one foot in the world. Still worshipping at the high places, still drawn to the idols in our life. I think of Solomon. He built the temple. He built the temple and the presence of God filled the temple. But then he was getting drawn by his wives and their foreign gods. And he's passing by the temple, travelling to worship on the high places. What's the song? Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold must be broken. We need to deal with the high things in our lives. We mustn't be going to the high places. Solomon erects his life, going to the high places, forgetting God, driving past the temple to the high places because of the women. Not looking, we mustn't be looking like to money to solve our problems. We mustn't be looking to the deceitfulness of riches. The world will get choked and we will become unfruitful. We need to deal with the idols in our life. And we can get distracted from applying the word that we're studying, getting distracted from knowing the one who wrote the word. Because the cares of this world can seem overwhelming, but not when we're focusing on Jesus. Because when we're focusing on Jesus, we can walk on water and the waves and the breakers will crash over us and they won't affect us because Jesus brings the right perspective into our lives. And if we're too busy to read the Bible and pray, then we're too busy. We're too busy to draw close to Jesus. And fourthly, he who receives the seed on good ground hears the word and understands it. When we have ears, we understand the word. Our ears must be connected to our heart, which is soft and wants to receive. And we can achieve this soft heart by exposure to the things of God, seeking him every morning, sitting under the word being preached, listening to what he wants to say to us, and being obedient. And if we come under the authority of God, and get involved in the local church, it means we will have authority in our own lives, in our families, in our businesses. When we come under God's authority, he gives us authority in our lives, in our ministries. We need to engage with what God is confronting us with. Because if we don't, we will get stuck in our Christian walk. And some things may seem minor to us, but they are massive to the Lord. Song of Solomon 2:15. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. So we need to deal with those little issues that seem minor to us, but are massive to the Lord. And they spoil the harvest in our life. They ruin the crop. And when we come under God's spiritual authority, we also will have peace. We won't have peace as long as we're refusing to respond to his promptings. Acts 26, verse 14. It's hard for me to kick against the goads. The goads were little sharp sticks that they used to direct pigs, is to prod the pigs to get them to go in a certain direction. Jesus was saying to Paul, the pricks in your conscience, it's hard to resist them, isn't it?
It's hard to resist what I'm saying to you, what I've been saying to you. Remember, Paul's coming back from the stoning of Stephen, and the Lord is pricking his conscience. And he does that with us. He pricks our conscience. So we need to take notice and deal with the things that God is challenging us on. Basic things that are pricking our conscience. And God has all the time in the world for us to sort it out. So we have to do it. Because God will wait forever. He will wait forever. He will wait until we die if we refuse to change. And things will never be the same in our lives. When we made a commitment to the Lord, things will never be the same. Because once we know the Lord, we know the Lord. And so we have to go his way. Things will never be the same once we know God. I used to commute from Southend to Ilford on a motorcycle. And I was doing it, I was going flat out, I might have broke the speed limit a few times. And it was only when I had a flat tire, I went into a bike shop and he said, look, you've got all this stuff in your tires. He said, you need to, it's dangerous. How's that? It's for years and these tyres. Once I knew what was wrong with the tyres, it wasn't the same. I had no freedom to do it. I had to get it sorted out. And I tell you, once you know the Lord, once you've tasted of the Lord, you can't live your life happy. You can't go back to sin. Right? There'll be no enjoyment. Once you've made this step, once you've made this commitment, you won't be able to relax. You've got to press in. You've got to press in, despite the obstacles. And there are those who make it through, because the good that make it through, the good soil brings a harvest, 40, 60, 100-fold in our lives. And I want to see this harvest in my lifetime. I want to see the kingdom established. I want to see Epping revived. I want to see the high street buzzing with people talking about God and what he's doing. People who've been saved. Like in the Welsh Revival, you hear the stories. The pubs were empty, they closed down for lack of business. The pubs, the churches were full. The courts went out of business. Everyone paid off their debts. The conversations changed. People stopped swearing. They was using pit ponies in the mines. They didn't understand the instructions anymore because there was no swear words in the conversation. Righteousness was abounding. And Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. I wonder if this doesn't mean that to win the souls is wise, or do you have to have wisdom to win them? I believe it's both, that we reap the harvest that the sowing of the seed is going to provide when we are wise in the way we act, when we're involved in the right initiatives. Jesus said in Matthew 10:16, be wise like snakes and gentle like doves. There's a harvest coming for us. This is a good time to be a Christian. God is really doing new things. And God is wanting to touch all parts of the church. He wants to touch everyone in the church. Ministry is going to be started in this place. In Jesus' name, a new thing is happening. God is moving. You know, there's been a spiritual drought, but the signs are there that the rain is falling. The rain is falling. And I'll end with this. My old pastor gave me a booklet, and it's talking about revival. And he said, drought ends as the water table is filled. The water table is refreshed over time by a steady, ongoing flow of gentle rain. Not by a deluge, which is going to rush off the surface. This gentle rain softens the ground and permeates through to bring restoration to the water table. And the constant gentle rain of the Spirit will soften hearts and restore people. It's the gentle rain of the Spirit that softens people's hearts. That's what happened to me and many others. And change is happening. People are more receptive than ever because it's raining. God is raining and he's raining in his people, amen. Bring them in here in the presence of God if you know people. Worship team, could we have a worship team up there? If you know some people, bring them in here, because when you're in this atmosphere, when the Spirit of God is raining, hearts start to soften. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And it goes on, the prophecy. The embers will be fanned into flame, which will bring authority and power from the Lord for those who spend time in drawing closer to God through prayer and fasting. Praise God. Father, I pray over this church. I thank you, Lord, that you are doing a new thing, that you are working in this church, in this land, Father God. And you are drawing people to yourself, Father God. And we can feel the rain falling, Father God. We can feel your spirit moving, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that the harvest will come in our lives, Father God. I pray people will be emboldened to sow the seeds, Father God, to spread the good news of what you've done for us on the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name. Okay, the worship team are going to lead us into a few songs now. First of all, if everyone would like to stand, we'll take an offering first of all.
I surrender. Everything you did is enough, and This place enriched by the word.